Happy birthday, Forks. 235 years. It's hard to believe, but we're so glad you're able to celebrate that today. And we pray that it's a celebration of hope, of love, of joy, and of peace for the church, for the community, and for all of you individually. We're sorry we could not be there today, but our hearts are with you. We love you, we pray for you, and we look forward to hearing great things from you in the future. God bless you all.
This is Reverend William Hickman. He founded Force of Elkhorn Baptist Church in 1788.
Wait, 1788? That's 235 years ago.
That's right. Force of Elkhorn Baptist Church is 235 years old.
That means our church started before Kentucky even became a state.
You guys, our church started before George Washington became president of the United States.
That's amazing.
This is where Reverend Hickman and the congregation met for the very first time, the John Major House. Before they built their own meeting house, the congregation would meet in the houses of different members of the church. Since its founding, the Forks congregation has met in 8 different meeting houses in 5 different locations in 3 different counties in 2 states and has survived 2 fires along the way.
What hasn't changed in all those years is that Forks of Elkhorn has always been a church that wants to share the love of Jesus with everyone.
Our church even started several other daughter churches here in Frankfort and across Kentucky. And the members of Force of Elkhorn had a big influence in Kentucky, choosing Frankfort to be our capital city.
What a huge legacy our church has.
Can you imagine how many people have become Christians in 235 years because of the work of the Holy Spirit through Force of Elkhorn Baptist Church?
Now I recognize that person. That's Pastor Todd.
Yes, Pastor Todd is the 50th pastor of Forks. When Pastor Todd became our pastor in 1998, this building wasn't even built yet. That's right. The chapel across the street was the church.
How did all these people fit into that little church?
Well, at the time, there were only about 30 active members.
Wow, our church sure has grown a lot since then.
Yes, it has. After just a few years with Pastor Todd as the pastor, the church had grown so much that they had outgrown the chapel, so they built this building. They moved in over here in 2003. It's true. Pastor Todd has followed the leading of the Holy Spirit as our church's pastor, and the Lord has grown the church to a lot of people who all want to grow closer to God and share Jesus with others.
If Pastor Todd became the pastor in 1998, that means that this year is his 25th anniversary as our pastor.
That sounds like a really big deal. But what if?
What if what?
What if Reverend William Hickman never came to Kentucky from Virginia? What if he never founded Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church?
And what if Pastor Todd never became our pastor?
What if he decided to be a basketball coach or high school teacher instead of becoming a pastor?
Whoa, those are some crazy what ifs. Think about how many people might have missed out on the chance to hear about Jesus if it weren't for God working through Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church.
It sure is a good thing nobody talked Pastor Todd or Reverend Hickman out of following God's plan for them.
I mean, we might not have even been here in this building right now.
And we might not have been given the opportunity to share our message with everyone here tonight. You know, that kind of reminds me of our play tonight. Yes, the church in our play, Midway Community Church, is just a fictional church. But it sure makes me think about our church. And how blessed we are by the faithfulness of the people who have been a part of Forks for the last 235 years.
I pray that we will continue to let the Holy Spirit use us to share the love of Jesus with everyone who might come to Forks in the future.
I wonder what amazing things God will do in the next 235 years if we remember to keep our eyes on the cross.
Good morning. My name is James Coleman. I am the youth minister here at Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church. And I'd like to extend a special welcome to those of you who are joining us for the first time. Maybe somebody dragged you here saying, let's go get some coffee, but you didn't know they were talking about our coffee downstairs. So welcome. Welcome. I hope you feel very welcome today. Today we are celebrating 235 years. Can we give some praise to the Lord this morning? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, everything we need, will be given to you as well. And God has been faithful to us in ways that we could hardly ever think, conceive, imagine. It's hard to believe that we get to look around and see all that God has done here. It's amazing. And we're going to pray that God will continue to bless us. But this morning, if you are new with us, if this is your first time here, I want to make sure that you check out our Welcome Center out in the foyer following the service. We have a small gift for you out there. And along with that gift is some information about our church, how we can come alongside you as a body of believers to help you in your walk with Christ. And maybe you can find some ways that you could step in here and just be a part of this community and be a part of the big things that God is doing here at Forks of Elkhorn. And welcome those of you who are online as well. Be sure to pop in the chat online and tell us hi. And if you have any prayer requests or anything like that, throw them in the chat as well. But would you all be okay if I opened up our service in prayer this morning? Can we do that? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for who you are and all that you have done for us over 235 years. God, thank you that we see your blessings never ending, God, in this place. But not only in this place, but in our lives. God, thank you for the new, fresh breath of air that we get to wake up to this morning. God, thank you that we can praise your name freely in a place that we don't have to fear persecution or anything like that. But God, we can surrender everything that we are to you. God, may our praise, may our worship be pleasing to you. May it be honoring to you. God, and we pray that you will be with our worship musicians, that you will be with Pastor Todd. And God, may your gospel be clearly seen through each and every one of them. God, we love you and we trust you and we surrender all praise, honor, and glory to Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand and greet one another in the name of Christ? Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today I am grateful that we have with us Doug Hamblin, who is our mission strategist for the Franklin Baptist Association. And Doug is going to come at this time to give a special greeting. So Doug, thank you for coming today. We're glad to have you.
Well, good morning, Forks.
Good morning.
And I've got to say it. For 235 years old, you all look pretty good. Somebody had to do it, and it was me. I am Doug Hamblin, and I'm the Association Mission Strategist for the Franklin Baptist Association. For those who don't know, the association is basically a group or a network. I like to think of it as a family of churches that associate together in friendly cooperation in order to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we are at Franklin Baptist Association. Now, here's something that you may not know. We have 30 churches in our association, but Forks of Elkhorn was one of the first churches to start the Franklin Baptist Association. I don't know if you knew that or not. And I'm reading from history of the association, it says the churches entering into this compact were Forks of Elkhorn, South Benson, Salt River, Twins, Hopewell, Mount Pleasant, Mouth of Elkhorn, and Big Spring. Of these, South Benson was oldest and deserves to be called the mother church of the association. Well, unless Mount Pleasant changed its name to Camp Pleasant, I would definitely say that Forks of Elkhorn is the only active originator church of the association. So that's something to be proud of. Yeah. And through your all's giving, your resources, your leadership, and your money, we as an association, we like to think we can do more together than we can alone. And as a result of that, we support an orphanage in Haiti, a Bible study at the Capitol Annex, a Baptist campus ministry at Kentucky State University, and a summer mission trip to Eastern Kentucky, last year of which 12 teenagers gave their life to Jesus Christ. So while you were not there necessarily in person, you're, because of your efforts, your giving, you are partly responsible for 12 people coming to know Christ that you do nothing about. That's amazing. And then we are also going this year, so if you want to be involved in that, if anybody does, let me know. St. John's is kind of heading that up. But as the kid said, by the way, never follow animals or children. They said it all. They really did. That was great. But can you imagine the souls in the 235 years that are in heaven as a result of Forks of Elkhorn? All of the evangelism and mission efforts that Forks has done over the years is just amazing. So I think it's appropriate if you all just want to give yourselves a hand. And Todd, you know, we first met years ago. Playing basketball. A group of us would go over to a family's house and we'd play basketball. Guys would play basketball. The girls, I think, would watch the guys play basketball. And then the guys would kind of watch the girls watching the guys play basketball. But and neither one of us ended up with either one of those girls. I have my wife over here, Kim. I always say she reminds me of a donut. Sweet and holy. That's what we marry, right, Todd? Sweet and holy. But eventually you got your position at Buck Run Baptist Church. I got a position at Crestwood Baptist Church. And we both kind of served under men whose names would be synonymous, I think, with Franklin County and the Franklin Baptist Association. Brother Bob Jackson and Wallace Kent. Well, you eventually were called here. Well, not here, but over there, Forks of Elkhorn. I was called to Western Kentucky. And then during your time here, well, obviously, the church has grown, lives have been changed, and many people have been saved as a result of your leadership. So, Todd, we thank you. 25 years is a... long time. I hope you stick around for another 25 years. Kelly may be thinking, well... No, you never know. But I'm sure your name is going to be remembered as one of those pastors that's synonymous with Franklin County and Franklin Baptist, is right up there with Wallace and Bob. So thank you. I have, by the way, we know it takes a partnership. So we've got, just from the association, just a little token of appreciation to both of you here. And then, Kelly, we have a T-shirt for you. Not your average pastor's wife. So we just want to say thank you and congratulations.
Let's remain standing and worship the Lord together.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Thank you all for leading so beautifully, and Doug, thank you for your kind words and a generous gift to Kelly and me, and thank you all, church, for your love and support and prayers. I am humbled and honored to be a part of this great church, this historic church, this alive church, this growing church. So thankful to share in this partnership with you all. And I'm so thankful that we are a praying church. I shared at the early service, if there's been one key ingredient to see the blessings that God has brought, it's been the prayers of His people. And I believe we'll only be as strong as our prayer lives. And I'm so grateful that we are a praying church. That was one of the keys to the early church. In Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to the fellowship and to prayer. And I believe that God will continue to add to our number those who are being saved when we keep Him in first place and keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. But every week for years now, we have had a time where we can come to this altar if you feel led to pray. You can kneel, you can stand, you can pray on behalf of a friend or a family member. Those of you watching online can pray from wherever you are. That can be your altar today. But we all need prayer. I know some of you are hurting today, you're grieving today, you're struggling with addiction or depression or loneliness or anxiety or fear, but God is able. If you feel led today to come to this altar to pray, I invite you to join me as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. God, we come bowing humbly before an almighty God. Lord, we give you all praise and glory and honor for your faithfulness to us for these 235 years. Words cannot express our gratitude, Father, our gratefulness for everything you have done, for everything that you are doing, for everything that you still are going to do up ahead. To God be the glory, great things you have done. Father, we come bowing before you with joy and thanksgiving, but also with pain and grief and sorrow and depression, anxiety, fear, loneliness. Lord, meet us where we are. And Lord, today we pray for those who are struggling. I pray for those who are grieving. Lord, I pray for Jeff and Becky Crook, their family, and the loss of Jeff's dad, that you would comfort them and give them peace. Father, we pray for those like Mike Wash, who suffered a terrible fall and who's facing surgery this week. We pray for healing, God, and strength for he and Julie. Father, I pray for my friend Jeff Smith that will be undergoing surgery in the next few days, and bring him safely through and give him victory. And Father, I pray for families that need to be healed, relationships that need to be reconciled. Father, I pray you would bring love to the lonely. Father, bring hope to the hopeless. And you would bring peace and salvation to those who are lost. And Lord, we pray for continued revival and spiritual awakening to sweep across not only our community, but across our state, our country, and our world. And may it begin in each of our hearts here today. So, Father, thank you for allowing us the privilege of worshiping you in this wonderful place. And I pray we would always be a Jesus first church, and that we would always keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Father, we ask now that you would just remove again any sin from our hearts and lives, and cleanse us and purify us so we can see you at work. Father, bless the choir in a moment as they sing, and Father, give me the words you would have me to share. We'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for the victories we trust you to bring. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to a familiar text found in Exodus chapter 3? And after doing that, I'm going to share something about the song the choir is going to be singing in just a few moments. But right now, we'll begin reading in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 3. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight while the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm so thankful for Homecoming 225. Bill Adcock commissioned an anthem to be written for Fort's historic celebration. Mary McDonald composed Our Faith in God Alone, which the Fort's Choir, under his leadership, premiered during the 2013 service. In the years following this powerful message and song, it's been performed by small churches and large churches alike. It's a message that our faith in God will lead us forward has provided hope to those around the world, including the Philippines, Dubai, Finland, New York City, and now Dukers, as our choir once again presents on this, its 10th anniversary, Our Faith in God Alone. Bless you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir, for leading so beautifully. Thank you, Linda, for leading the choir, and Lori for playing. And what a beautiful reminder. Our faith in God alone is what's gotten us this far, and that's what will continue to lead us on our journey home. What would be an anniversary without a joke that the pastor often shares at the beginning? Maybe you heard the story about a preacher's little boy that asked his dad one day, he said, "Daddy, I notice every Sunday before you come out to preach, I see you bow your head." He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, son, I'm praying. I'm asking the Lord to give me a good sermon." His little boy said, "Then why doesn't he do it?" I can relate. I can relate with that. I am humbled and honored to be a part of this great celebration. I'm humbled and honored to serve as your pastor. My family and I count it a privilege, a joy, a blessing. The two words that come to mind when I think about Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church are grateful and blessed. I'm grateful, we are grateful, and we are blessed to be a part of such a wonderful church, rich with so much tradition and the legacy of love and faith that those who have gone on have left behind. I made a commitment to this church, hard to believe, on July 5th, 1998, over in the little chapel across the street. I made some commitments that I've tried to live out. One, I made a commitment to give you my very best. I've tried every day for the last 25 years to give you my very best. I made a commitment that I would pray for you daily. I have prayed for this church and its members and those who God brings into this place faithfully daily. I also made a commitment to love you as the way Christ has loved me. And I've tried my best to model the love of Jesus. I also made a commitment to make a difference for his kingdom in this lost world. And I pray that you too have committed to pray and to love and to give your best and to strive to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And as I prayed for a passage of Scripture, the Lord led me to this familiar passage out of Exodus 3. Most of you know it's a story of Moses when he was being called to deliver the children of Israel, the people of Israel, out of their slavery, out of their bondage in Egypt, where they had been for 430 years. And I'm so grateful that God called Moses. I'm grateful that God called me. I'm grateful that God has called you to make a difference for his kingdom. 25 years ago, on my first Sunday here at Forks, I used three questions that came from a Christmas song. And some of you all may remember this song, but Noel Regne wrote it in 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And he wrote this as a powerful prayer of peace from one who had experienced the horrors of being in the war, World War II. And in this song, he shared about the nativity, about the birth of Christ. There have been over 100 versions and recordings of this song by many different artists. But the one that brought it notoriety and brought it to the nation, really, was Bing Crosby in 1963. You remember the song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" And I posed the three questions that were posed in that song 25 years ago. And I ask you these three questions again today in light of this text that we just read. The first question in the song was, "Do you see what I see?" Moses in verse 2, there an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. And Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. You see, this was God's revelation of himself and his will to Moses. This was God giving Moses a vision. I shared with you 25 years ago out of Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people will perish. And I believe as God's people, we must always have a vision that comes from God. When we have our own vision and do it our own way, then we fail miserably. But if we have God's vision and we do it God's way, you will never be led astray and you'll never be led the wrong way. And so when I think about the things that God has blessed us with, I think about the vision that God has given so many great people. I think about Martin Luther, who saw the need for the church to be reformed, and so began the Great Reformation. I think about John Knox, who had a vision to evangelize Scotland, and he began to win his nation to Christ. I think about Mother Teresa, who had a vision to help the poor children of Calcutta by picking them up in her arms and loving them in the name of Jesus Christ. I think about our founding father, William Hickman, who came from Virginia into this wilderness and dangerous land, who had a vision to begin Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church. And we as a church have tried to have a vision to reach those who are lost and to minister to those who are hurting and to minister to our community and our surrounding communities. It's important that we see that God gives us a vision to make the difference in the kingdom of God. I shared at the early service, and I share with you that I had folks, when I was contacted by this church to potentially come be your pastor, I began to pray. And I had folks around the community and other ministers that you've heard me share said, "You don't want to go to that church." And I said, "Why not?" They said, "It's a dying church." And said, you don't want to start your first pastor. And I was a youth minister 10 years before becoming a pastor. And said, you don't want to go to that church. It's a dying church. You don't want to go to that church. Had one minister to say, "The largest that church could ever be is about 60 people if you reach the trailer park down the road." Said, "You really don't want to go to that church." But I didn't listen. And God obviously had another plan. And God has blessed us. And I think he continues to bless our lives when we see what God can do. Not what man can do, but we see what God can do. And for many years now, I've seen this church as a lighthouse on this hill, shining brightly to bring people to the hope of Jesus Christ. I've seen this church as a field hospital for the sin sick and hurting. And I pray that's how you'll see it too, as a lighthouse and as a field hospital for those who are hurting and those struggling. Do you see what I see? But then secondly, do you hear what I hear? You see, Moses went a little bit closer in verses 4 and 5 to look at the bush. And when he got closer, he heard the voice call out from within the bush, "Moses! Moses!" Moses said, "Here I am." He said, "Take off your sandals. The ground on which you are standing is holy ground." You know what made the ground holy? It was not holy by nature. It was holy because the presence of the Lord was there. You know what's made this ground so holy at Forks of Elkhorn? The presence of the Lord is here. I can't help but think about years ago, we would often sing out of a little praise and worship book in the little church, and I remember pages 85 and 86. We didn't have a minister of music. We didn't have a youth minister. I was a pastor, and I was trying to do what I could to do all three, and we would have inevitably somebody say, let's sing 85, 86. It was, this is holy ground, right into we are standing on holy ground. And that's been a special song for many years, that we are standing, worshiping on holy ground. But when it says, do you hear what I hear? Did you know that the same Lord that spoke to Moses from that burning bush is still speaking to people today? Do you remember hearing the voice of the Lord call your name when you gave your life to Jesus Christ? When he called you to serve him, to follow him, to make a difference for him? If you've not heard his voice yet, let me encourage you that the Lord speaks in a variety of ways. Years ago, Henry Blackaby and his discipleship study Experiencing Guide said that the Lord speaks in many ways. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. And maybe the Holy Spirit has been touching your heart, convicting your heart, leading you to make a commitment, leading you to make a decision. He speaks through his word. This is probably one of the greatest ways he speaks to us, through his word. He speaks to us through prayer. I hope that you've prayed and prayed faithfully to hear him speak. He speaks to us through circumstances. It's possible that you're going through a difficult time right now in your life, and maybe God's trying to get your attention. And if you would only listen, God is trying to speak to you. He speaks to us through the church. And that might come from a pastor, a minister, a Sunday school teacher, a godly deacon, a godly person that you worship beside. But God can speak to us in many different ways. Here's what I want you to hear today. Hear that God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Know that God wants what's best for you. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Know this, if we were going to be blessed, we've got to keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, then let us keep in step with the Spirit. If there's been one consistent prayer I've prayed through these 25 years, is that our church would keep in step with the Holy Spirit, that we'd never run ahead of him, lag behind him, or get out of step with him, but we would keep in perfect step with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you today, are you keeping in step with the Spirit? Are you keeping in step with the world and its ways and the sin that's so prevalent in our society today? Are you trying to keep in step with the Spirit of God? If you keep in step with him, he will bless you and he'll bless me. I remember like it was yesterday how God began to grow and bless this church. We ran out of room across the street. We added a second service. We had a closed circuit television down in the basement of the fellowship hall. And we had chairs everywhere you could stick a chair. And people sitting in the choir loft. And people sitting on the steps. I mean, everywhere you could fit somebody in. And God was moving. And it came time to have to do something, or we were going to start going the opposite way because there was no room. So we enlarged the parking lot, and we began to pray. I asked the Whites who lived behind us if we could purchase more land, and they said, we're saving that land for our grandchildren one day when we're gone. We'll give you an easement if you all want to use it for parking. Like, God, I know you're not bringing all these people and blessing us just to keep us right here and not be able to continue to grow. So we prayed, and through the blessings of the Lord, Virginia and Aubrey Hill sold us 8 acres. Right where this sanctuary stands was a tobacco barn. And we called it our field of dreams. And we prayed that if we would build it, then the Lord would bring the people. They would come. And I'm so grateful that it came time for us to vote and to get 100% vote in a Baptist church or any way is a difficult task. But we put it to a vote. And I remember before the vote, Bill Godby, who is one of our faithful members that I still miss today, and Marlon Godby, his wife, is here, and they've been such big parts of Forks. And I could start naming names. Right now, I could tell you all the people that have made such a difference in my life, our lives, and in the life of this church. And I remember like it was yesterday, Bill Godby coming up to me in the back of the little chapel. And he said, "Todd, if we vote to build, you have to promise that you're not going to leave. We don't want you to go on to bigger, better things." And I remember like it was yesterday, I said, "Bill, I feel like I'm where the Lord wants me, and why can't we be bigger and better right here where we are?" And I think about what Jensen Franklin, my wife gave me a book recently, Jensen Franklin, Acres of Diamonds. And it said, wise people learn the value of what God gives them. And he went on to share that wise people see blessings where there is devastation. Wise people see life in the midst of a drought. Wise people see dreams instead of brokenness. And it said, really, there should be an awareness to never overlook the place of where you are. So many times we think the grass looks greener on the other side. I can find a better spouse, a better job, a better church. Sometimes God wants us to be right where we are. And even though you might go through a drought or a dry season, God has you there for a reason, and he has you there for a season. And God is working today. He continues to work. And so today I pray that you would hear the same God that called Moses is still calling us to live out our lives of faith for him. But then lastly, the last question is, do you know what I know? Because in verses 7 and then verse 12, the Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." Don't ever think God isn't concerned about you and me when we suffer, when we go through hardship, when we find ourselves in a predicament. He does care. He loves you and me greatly. And then in verse 12, he said, "I will be with you." Moses started making excuses. I've made all kinds of excuses too, why I'm not smart enough or educated enough or good enough to be this or to be that. Somebody can be better, and the devil likes to whisper lies to all of us. But I am so grateful that the Lord said to Moses, "And I will be with you. This will be a sign that I have sent you." And then when you lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain. Guess what? God has been with us, and we've been worshiping him on this mountain for 235 years. And I'm so grateful for God's faithfulness to us. Now, we haven't always been right here in this location, but in this community. Some people have said, "Why are y'all called Forks of Elkhorn and you're not in the Forks of Elkhorn?" Well, our first church, you saw the picture, the John Major House. If you were to drive down Country Lane into Two Creeks, go through the gate up on the left, That's the Patterson form. It was the May form. You see, our original church still stands. The John Major House, that was considered the Forks of Elkhorn community and close to Elkhorn Creek. So that's why when people say, why y'all call Forks of Elkhorn, you're nowhere near the Forks. Well, it's because our original church was in the community of Forks of Elkhorn. That was just a little side note. I'm hurrying this along, but you don't have to wait in line at Cracker Barrel. We got food downstairs after the service, so. But do you know what I know? And Moses had to know that this awesome task of leading the Israelites out of Egypt, he could not do on his own. Let me tell you, I could not lead this church on my own. Only through the power of God and His Spirit have I been able to lead you with all of my sins, faults, and inadequacies. God is greater. I've asked for Him to increase and me to decrease. And I've wanted Him to be more and me less. And I am just so grateful today. And I want you to know this. I want you to know this, that God loves you deeply. As a matter of fact, David said in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He's close to you. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Know this, that God forgives you. If you've done something today you're not proud of, you've made mistakes, know that God is a God of second chances. I believe He gave a second chance to this church, multiple chances through the years, to bless us like this. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. Know this, that God will save you. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Verse 13 of Romans 10, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then lastly, know that God promises to be with you and be with me. I shared that in a story years ago about when I was in seminary and I was waking up at 3:30, 3:31, 3:32. I didn't know why I was waking up. And my friend that I commuted to seminary with said, Todd, maybe God's speaking to you. Why don't you ask? Y'all know the story. So it happened again. And I said, as Samuel did when Samuel was being called by the Lord and he thought Eli was calling him, he said to say, speak, Lord, your servant hears, your servant listens. So I said that audibly in the middle of the night, speak, Lord, your servant hears. And I heard the words, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. I slapped my face and I said, I heard that. I said, do you have any other message for me? And lo, or surely I am with you always, even until the end of the age. The only way I can pastor, the only way we can minister, the only way we can serve our risen Lord is knowing that He is with us. He is with us. We can't do it on our own strength. And know that He is with you and He is with me. Now I want to close by sharing this story with you. Many years ago, I didn't know what God's plan was for my life. Maybe that's where you are today. I had a heavy heart. I had a broken heart. I didn't know what the future. Be honest with you, I couldn't see a future. Have you ever been at a place where you don't see a future? I didn't see a future. No kidding. I was scared. I was worried because at a relatively young age, I didn't see a future. And I was heavy-hearted and I mean, I had blood laid flat on my face and cried out to God and cried for help. I had people try to call me and people try to come by and see me. And I didn't want to see anybody. And I one day had somebody ring my doorbell, knock at the door. And I saw that it was my pastor. Now, honestly, I didn't feel like seeing him either. And I know I've come to some of y'all's houses, you haven't felt like seeing me either. I've seen you peek out the blinds. you peeked out the blinds and never come to the door. And then I've said, they're in there. I saw them peek out, didn't realize there was one of those ringtone doorbells. You could probably hear me saying that anyway. I didn't feel like a visit. But he came in and sat down, and my heart was heavy and my spirit was down. And he said, Todd, I've been praying for you. And he said, I want to tell you this story. It's a story I shared 2 weeks ago at the Franklin County High School Baccalaureate. It's the same story I shared here on July 5th, 1998, in the little building. And I closed with this story. He said, Todd, I want to tell you a story. And as he began to talk, he pulled out of his overcoat pocket, it was in the winter, and set a fork down in the table. And I'm thinking, he said, years ago, there was a little lady at church that everybody knew as Aunt Evie. And you all have heard different versions and variations of this story. He goes, Aunt Evie was a godly woman. She loved the Lord, loved the church. She was there every time the doors were open. And she came up to the pastor one day and she said, Preacher, when I die, I want to be buried with my Bible in one hand, and I want to be buried with my fork in the other. And he said, well, Aunt Evie, I know why you want to be buried with your Bible. You're a godly lady. You love the Lord, love His church, and I know that, but why in the world do you want to be buried with your fork? And she said, well, Preacher, do you know how we have all these meetings and eatings on the church ground? Said, when we eat, the sweet ladies come by to take my plate, and they'll say, now, Aunt Abby, you keep your fork, you save your fork, because the best is yet to come, talking about dessert. And she said, Preacher, when I die, I want people to file by that casket and see my Bible and know I love the Lord and served Him faithfully. And I want them to see that fork and know that there are better days up ahead, that there's hope, and that ultimately the best of all, heaven is awaiting. The best is yet to come in heaven. And little did I know that after he shared that story, that about a year and a half later, I'd be called to serve as your pastor at the Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church. And through the years, that's been an ongoing motto and theme for us, is that the best is yet to come. That first Sunday, we had a small crowd, but I asked, as Bill Godby passed out the forks, and people didn't know why, but I asked at the end of the service, if you want to make a commitment today that the best is yet to come in your life and the life of this church, as a symbol of your commitment, I want you to stand and raise that fork. I want you to know that every man and woman of every age, boy and girl that were there, they all stood and made a commitment that the best was yet to come. Church, I'm asking you, as I did 25 years ago, if you believe the best is yet to come in your life and the life of this church and in your faith walk, to stand as a symbol of your commitment. If you don't have a fork, you can raise your hand. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer of commitment right now. May we pray together. Father, you see right now these raised forks and raised hands and raised hearts and spirits, that we are making a commitment right now that we believe the best is yet to come in our lives as followers of Christ, in our faith journey, in the life of this church and its ministries. Father, for the future of Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church, you have blessed us so much, but we still believe the best is yet to come. So, Father, would you put a hedge of protection around this church and around each individual and every family represented, that we would always keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, and that we would walk by faith and not by sight. And we'll just thank you and praise you for the victories, Lord, that we trust you to continue to bring. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray and make this commitment. Amen. Amen. I want you to know, as you remain standing, that we had some folks that were there 25 years ago They placed their forks in a prominent place in their house. Some put a magnet, put it on their refrigerator. Others placed it in their Bible or a place where they would see it daily as a reminder, the best is yet to come. And today we're going to sing a hymn of commitment. And if you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, it'd be my privilege to pray with you a prayer where you could receive Christ. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. This is not a perfect church. I am not a perfect pastor, but we serve a perfect God, and you'll find love here, and you'll find support and encouragement. Or maybe you're a Christian, and you've gotten off track, and on this historic day, you want to renew your vow of commitment and say, you know what, I've been on the sidelines long enough. I'm ready to get in the game and start serving like I used to. However the Holy Spirit leads you, I'm going to invite you to come as we sing a hymn of commitment on this homecoming Sunday. Lord, I'm coming home. Won't you come as we sing together? Thank you so much for being here today and allowing the Holy Spirit to be in this place. If you are a guest, don't forget to go by the Welcome Center, pick up a small gift as our token of love and appreciation. But I hope all of you who are able to come downstairs, you can go down two stairwells or take the elevator. We have a delicious meal catered by Family Affair. It's free. We'd love to have you to join us for a luncheon. Then around 1:45, we're going to come out to the cross where there will be a special ceremony. We normally go to Frankfort Cemetery, but there's a conflict in their schedule. So we're going to have a brief ceremony out by the cross as we remember our founding father and symbolically place the wreath there at the cross, going back to the cross where it all began. So thank you for being here. I want to share once again mine and our love and appreciation for all the love and prayers you have shown me and us through the years. I couldn't ask for a better church and a better place to be. And so thank you for putting up with me. I say that to my wife on a daily basis. One of our founding father's children, I think it was William Hickman Jr., had a wife, and her name was Obedience. And when I was here, I was single, and I was praying for Obedience, and I got Disobedience as a wife. So that's a joke. So thank you all so much for coming. thanks again, Doug, for coming today, and pray God's blessings upon you. Know how much I and we love you and how much God loves you. Let's sing Holy Ground once again as we go from this place.